so great. There is no one else like you. Oh, there is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. For you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you. Oh, there is no one else like you. For you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are.
Sister, let's sing that song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand.
So time is filled with swift transitions. Oh, not of earth unmoved can stand. So build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. So just hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, just hold to God's unchanging hand. On things eternal, and just hold to God's unchanging.
Of the
Though the way may seem long, though the opposition's strong, for the right there's a way provided. And if I plan to go through, just to hope when I do, I must be firmly decided to follow the Lord by obeying His word and believe that I'm one of the few. Oh, I'm one of the few. I'm one of the few, and by faith in God's word I claim it. Though the way may seem long, though the opposition's strong, for the bright there's a way provided. To go through, just to hope when I do, I must be firmly decided to follow the Lord by obeying His word and believe that I'm one of the few.
Slow it down here just a little bit before we go to the Lord in prayer. So blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. So this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Now perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, rain from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. So this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, my song, praising my Savior all the day long. So perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking around, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. So this is my story,
my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. My story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
We just have a couple tonight, which is a good thing. So, but I also know there's unspoken prayer requests as well, so we'll just hold those close to our heart this evening. We want to just remember my mom, Sister Sarah. She's at home tonight, wasn't able to be here, so just remember her. Also, I have a prayer request here to please remember Brother Jaron in prayer. He re-injured his back today at work. So we just want to remember that need and just continue to remember my wife, Sister Megan, just as we deal with the first portion of pregnancy and all that. So just remember her this evening as well. But that's all the prayer requests I have wrote down. So if we could, I could have Brother Chris just come up and pray over these prayer requests and just lead us into the next part of the service.
Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful once again to be able to come to your house this evening. Lord, we're looking forward to fellowship with you and to be drawn closer to you through the ministering of your word. Father, we ask you to be with the minister tonight as he brings forth the word. Lord, we ask you to be the honored guest here this evening, walk the pews and be with us this evening. Father, we've heard the needs of the people brought before us, Father. We just ask that you would be merciful and be kind to each one, Father. Lord, meet the needs according to your will. And Lord, we ask that you'd be glorified in each of them. Lord, be with those that are sick, those that are grieving. Lord, we know there are many traveling, and ask that you'd be with them. Lord, we want to remember Brother Mitchell and Sister Megan as they go through this pregnancy, and just ask once again that your hand would be upon them. Father, we commit this service to you tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may have your seats. Let's keep it in the same key. There's Sister C. So flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow. As I lift my Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. That's the tithes and offering before we have Brother Aaron come this evening. Brother Chris, if you would pray.
Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful once again to be here tonight. We ask you to be with us part of our worship, the gift, the giver, the intended purpose. We thank you once again, Jesus.
Amen. Let's sing that chorus, "Only to Be What He Wants Me to Be," as Brother Aaron comes this evening.
Only to be what he wants me to be. Every moment of every day, yielded completely to Jesus. Step up this pilgrim way. Oh, now just to be clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what his word comes. Every moment of every day, so only to be what he wants me to be. Every moment of just be every moment of every day.
Say a prayer tonight. Let us bow our hearts for a word of prayer. If you ever need, you can show by raising your hand. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening, Lord. We sing, Lord, from the depth of our hearts that we want to be what you want us to be, Lord. We know that, oh God, a man's way seemeth right in his way, in his eyes, but his end is the end of death. But we know that your way, Lord, is best finding out. And your way is the truth that leads to eternal life. Father, you told us in your word that we should enter through the straight gate. We thank you, Father, as you have gathered us tonight, Lord. We are asking, oh God, to know you, Father, and to know your way. As your word tells us that the children of Israel, they knew your ways, but they did not know you as personally as Moses knew you. But tonight, Father, we want to draw closer to you and know you more personally, Father. Reveal yourself to our hearts, Lord. Father, children are raising up their hands, trusting and believing, oh God, that you are able, Father, to supply their needs. We commit all of these into your hands. Father, we want to remember this time, Brother Barry Coffey and his wife who's traveling, Lord, to Europe. Oh God, a place that needs a revival. Families, Lord, that needs encouragement. Many young people that need a visitation, a touch of the Spirit. May you open a door for him, Lord. May you just inspire him and anoint him, Lord, that he may be a blessing to the people that are on that part of the world. We thank you. We bless your name. Be with those that are here tonight and those that are streaming. We commit everything into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you, saints. May maybe as you stand, thank you so much, musicians. If you want to take your Bibles. Let's go to... Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. If you have it, you can say amen.
Amen.
All right, the Bible reads, I'll read from the screen. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. Can you repeat the word heap? For they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. May the Lord add the blessing of his word. You may have your seats. So it's like, you know, I like to use those earbuds. Is that what you call them here? The ones that you use to clean your ears. Like I can go through hundreds of them, like in a month, right? Q-tips, right? So it's like Q-tips, right? You heap yourself Q-tips. So that's what the scripture is here. That they shall heap, like it's going to be a lot of preaching and of ministry, not to edify, but for people to, because they have itching ears. Yesterday was Veterans Day, so we want to take this time to honor our veterans in our midst. If I mention names, I may forget someone, but God bless you for your service. I grew up in a country that does not have as many freedoms as you have on this part of the world. So never take it for granted. Amen. You know, it's like when you have something, you don't know what it means. But somebody who has lived on the other side knows what it means. And I was, as I was thinking about Veterans Day, one scripture came to mind, John chapter 13, verse 3. The Bible says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands. Now, he knew that God had given him all things and that he was come from God and he went back from God. He knew where he was coming from. He knew where he was going. So he knew who he was. He knew where he was coming from and he knew where he was going. Amen. Those three things, that's your identity, right? And the Bible says, he riseth from the supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet.
If I knew that God had given me all things, the last thing I want to do is to wash someone's feet. I mean, if I knew that I'm a trillionaire tonight and I possess all things, it would be remotely possible to ever come to my mind that I would, the first thing I think about is to wash someone's feet. But you know what? True revelation makes you humble. True revelation makes you serve. So if you know who you are willing to serve. If you want to be served, then you don't know who you are. If you know who you are and you are secure about yourself, it puts you into service. That's what Jesus Christ did. He knew who he was, that God had given him all things. In other words, he did not need to prove anything to anyone. You know, because, you know, sometimes because we doubt who we are, we're not sure about our identity. We want to prove to people. You know, we like to show to people that, hey, I'm cool, I'm this, I'm nice, and that's fine, right? But it should never be a complex, right? So Jesus, he knew who he was, and he wanted to do the lowest job. He wanted to do the lowest kind of work. He was not trying to get the approval of man, praise the Lord. You know, we live in a world where we are trying to identify ourselves. I was listening to a podcast. It was a Jewish rabbi. He's a billionaire, right? So it was a financial podcast because sometimes I like to listen to finances. And he says people don't know their identity. So they let a fashion company tell them who you are. And they give them something to wear, like a Gucci or a Louis Vuitton. And you want to make that your identity because you don't know who you are. But if you know who you are, then you don't need to take someone's name like that. Now, I'm not saying don't wear, like, nice clothes. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm simply saying it can become a spirit where you are trying to find an identity. Amen. And that's what causes people to be in the streets, to become gangs, and they come up with names for gangs and things. It's because it's people who are trying to compensate for something that they don't have. Some of them, they never had a decent family. Some of them didn't have a father in the house. Some didn't have a mother in the house. So they want to find an identity. But if you know who you are, then you go into service. That's my veteran message. But tonight we want to talk about, you know, enduring sound doctrine. So from the scripture that we read in Timothy, the Bible is very clear. It says the time will come when we will not endure sound doctrine. And Paul was prophesying many things in the book of Timothy. Because Paul was ready to go. Because remember the conspiracy that rose when, you know, the temple in Rome was burned down and, you know, the Christians were blamed. And Paul knew that he was going, right? And he was writing these letters and he was like hitting the very nice, beautiful spots, right? Just like the prophet in 1965, you know, he was coming with such wonderful messages. But Paul knew that I am ready to go. He says it in the book of Timothy, right? And he was emphasizing this. He was emphasizing to Timothy many times about doctrine, about sound teaching, about false teaching. And, you talk about Hymenaeus. You talk about, you know, different people, Alexander the coppersmith, that people who had left the way of the truth. You talk about people who had shipwrecked their faith. But he emphasized good and sound doctrine. You know, he speaks about, you know, not going into fables or genealogies and different things. And he keeps bringing up this thought of having good, sound doctrine. And he was prophesying that for there will come a time where people shall not endure sound doctrine. And this may be breaking news to you, but this is the time. You know, Timothy says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Right? Now, we can't read that scripture and think about 100 years to come. The perilous times are here, right? People shall be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. People shall be disobedient to their parents. People shall be heady. They know everything. People shall be high-minded. Everything is about the high life, right? People are high-minded. But the Bible says, condescend to men of low estate. People shall be laughers of themselves, you know, whether it's expressed through social media, but that's just is the spirit of the age. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have that. I do have it, right? And once in a while, I like to, you know, put a picture of myself. That's cool. That's completely human. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a spirit where people love themselves. Everything is about you. Back in the day, it used to be Hollywood. You know, Hollywood would bring out, you know, Marilyn Monroe, different ones. But now, everyone can be a superstar. All you need is a smartphone and a good internet connection. Praise the Lord. And then you can display yourself. Then you can advertise yourself. Then you can become, you know, an object. You can objectify yourself. People shall become lovers of themselves. And Brother Barry, he started the Sermon on Sunday with a wonderful statement. He says, if you only take what you agree with, then you are worshiping yourself. Because you are making yourself an absolute. And the Bible, that's why the Bible says that people shall be lovers of themselves. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Hallelujah. And then Paul now, here he says that people shall not endure sound doctrine. Now, what is doctrine? The word doctrine translated, it just means teaching. People shall not endure sound teaching. And I want to say this as we start, that doctrine, sometimes people don't endure doctrine. I mean, sound doctrine is good. But sometimes what people don't like is when we as ministers, we are the problem sometimes. Is the way we present things, right? We all want the message of the hour. How many can say amen? But it's a good message if it's presented in the right way. We all love the Bible. The Bible is good if it's presented in the right way. But if it's presented as an ism, then people become weary of that. And there are many kinds of isms. There is legalism. There is Pentecostalism. There is fundamentalism. There is Calvinism. Now, you can take anything and make a doctrine and an ism out of it. Amen. And that is not right. And when people reject that, it's not that they are rejecting the word. They are rejecting the way it has been presented. Like, we love the Bible. We love the message. But if it's presented in such a way where you don't need to do anything in life, you don't need to listen to a minister, all you have to do 24/7 is to listen to a tape, that may become an ism. Then it's not the message that is wrong, but it's what people are doing with the message. And that's not what we're talking about tonight. Tonight we're just talking about good, old-fashioned, sound, balanced, good teaching. Can you say amen? That's what we're talking about tonight. So, when we talk about doctrine, we talk about it's a teaching. And teaching is composed of many things. Teaching has to be balanced. If it's not balanced, it's not a good teaching. If you are a teacher, you must be balanced. If you are making things complicated, then you are not a teacher. If you are a teacher, you must break things and make the people to understand. That's what teaching is all about. If you're just preaching something that only you yourself and maybe some other ministers understand, then that is no longer the message. The Bible says that Jesus, when he spoke, the common people, they heard him gladly. His message was not so mysterious until he was, you know, sometimes ministers, we can make it so mysterious. You know, we can go into the mysteries until we become so mysterious to the people. You know, just a simple subject on baptism, we can make it very mysterious. Oh, I want to teach about the mystery of baptizo, you know. And we go into, you know, many complications. Now, of course, there are deep subjects in the message. There are deep subjects in the Bible. And our goal as the ministry is to break down those doctrines to make them simple enough for the young people to understand them, for the old people to understand them. This message was popular in Africa because it's simple. You don't need to be very educated to understand the message of the hour. You don't need a theological degree. You don't need to be an engineer. If you are a reasonable person, you can understand the message of the hour. And that's what sound teaching is. It's a Bible teaching. But Paul is saying that in the last days, people are not going to love sound teaching. This is why you have situations where, you know, there's a young man, you know, who used to go in campuses and preach. His name was Charlie Kirk. Some of you may know him. And he was killed. Why? Because people could not endure what he was teaching. Now, I'm not endorsing everything that he says, right? Full disclaimer, right? I think he was a nice young man. He, you know, good intentions. And I liked a lot of the things that he taught, right? But of course, he was a human being. He's not perfect, right? Like all of us. But I'm just giving an example. That the one reason why someone would want him dead is because they can't endure his teaching. And that just shows you it's a sign that there is a spirit that has come upon the earth. That people can no longer endure sound teaching. People are no longer interested in hearing about the truth. People want to hear what they want to hear. People want to be told what they want to be told. People want to worship themselves. But the bride is not like that. And we can look at this thing and say, oh, it's just outside. But you know what? Even as you are sitting here, if you're not careful, this spirit can catch you. And suddenly you are afraid of your Bible. Suddenly you are afraid of the tape. Suddenly you are afraid of the ministry. And then you have to ask yourself, am I now becoming weary of sound doctrine? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's like Proverbs, like Solomon says. He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. It happens a lot in sons, in children. Is that sometimes after teaching, being told what to do, if the Lord does not intervene, sometimes it creates a rebellious spirit. Because people become weary of being taught. People become weary of being told what to do. And naturally, if it's not a revelation, it can trigger a spirit of rebellion. Like, why do you have to tell me to do this? Why do you always have to tell me this? And we all love freedom. Amen. We all love liberty. No one loves liberty like Americans, right? Everything is about liberty, right? The guns, the deer, all the things that we have in our homes, you know, many symbols of freedom and liberty. And whenever we are told something to do, we feel violated. We don't want to be told what to do. But we don't always have to have things our way. Because God created this system by his laws. Amen. It's like my kids, if I was going to ask them, what did you eat? They'll definitely want to eat this. Every day, literally. My kids would love to have this for breakfast, lunch, supper, midnight snack. That's what they want. And that's why companies are making billions and billions of dollars selling this. Now, this sermon is not about food. Because I know food is very personal to me as an American. Just want to get that out of the way. I don't want to ruin your dinner plans, right? My kids would want to eat this. Even on Thanksgiving, praise the Lord. That's what our appetite is. But would Dr. Mills want you to eat this? Dr. Mills wants you to eat this. But who can endure vegetables? Who can endure vegetables and blueberries? Hello? Ever heard about Chick-fil-A? Five Guys? My goodness, those fries. And you are telling me about avocados. Listen, we are all going to die anyway. Who cares? Let's all eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. Because no one is willing to endure sound eating. That's the same way with the spiritual man. In your mind, we want to have pizza. We went to the men's meeting with Brother Jonathan Mao, and we were having pizza, and we were dipping it in a garlic sauce. And we're like, this is bad, but it's so good. Right? That's kind of like the spirit, right? We all want, you know, a mega church where we have games every day, where we have entertainment and motivation and all the good sermons, or the, they call them the feel-good sermons. You know, you can do anything. You are more than, you are powerful. You are a leader. You can make it. That's all we want to hear every day. Nobody wants this. But you said the natural types the spiritual. When this was pushed by, you know, the corporate, it's not a conspiracy. They are in business. They're trying to make money, right? If I was in business, I would do the same thing. So it's not like they are evil people in the underworld, like, you know, conspiring to destroy humanity. No, it's just business. You want to sell, you want to make money. That's how what capitalism is about. When this was being pushed out, everybody was like, this is good. This is the American dream. But now, fast forward to today, people are, you know, sorry, I have to go back. People are, you know, spending extra to go to Whole Foods. People are spending extra to go to Sprouts. People are spending extra to go to the farmer's market to find organic foods, you know, olive oil, just all those things. Because people are starting to see the side effects of this. But on the spiritual side, people are not realizing the side effects of this. Because they are not pronounced. Because nobody's going to tell you that, hey, we have this because of the diet. 90% of our problems come from our diet. But nobody is willing to address the side effects in the spiritual diet. So that's where we are now. We are living in the last days. And the prophet says, and you may, as you know, he was praying, says, Lord, you gave me the vision some 22 years ago to store up the food, fine health looking vegetables that I saw in the vision being stored here in the tabernacle. May we today receive a whole barrel full of that, granted, Lord, or a tape load. Amen. So the prophet was told to store up the food, which is the tapes that we have. It was not to replace the ministry. It was because the angel told him that people are going to deviate from the sound teaching. So you got to record these messages for a backup, that people can know what the way is. Because they shall lose the way in the last days. And that's where we are today. Amen. And Peter says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment begin in the house of God. Do we have scriptures like this in the Bible? Is it in the New Testament? Yes. Judgment starts in the house of God. Now, every service doesn't have to be judgment day, right? That's why some ministers go on the other extreme. They will take this scripture and they want to make every service a judgment day. No, sir. You know, it's like when you read the book of Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. You'll see something, right? Ephesians chapter 1. I'm just trying to show you the balance that is in the word. If you go to Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible talks, you know, Paul starts talking about, you know, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And he says, you know, to those that are chosen. I apologize, I've got a new Bible, so it's not easy to flip. So Ephesians chapter 1, starts talking about, you know, it says, Paul says, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and grace and mercy be to you, and blessed be to the God. Let's start from verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, we love to talk about this. Chapter 1 is a complete, wonderful, deep thoughtful chapter, very inspired. Talks about predestination, being in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, being foreordained by God, being predestinated. These are things that we talk about a lot in the message. Amen. It talks about our adoption, you know, our we have received redemption and forgiveness of sins. So that's Ephesians chapter 1. And you can spend all your ministry in chapter 1, but that's not the whole book of Ephesians. Now, if you fast forward and you go to Ephesians chapter 5, right? Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subjective unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So you see, in the same book of Ephesians, you've got deep mysteries on chapter 1. And on chapter 5, you've got simple family teachings. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, obey your husband. So this is what sound doctrine should look like. We talk about predestination. We talk about the seals and all events in the world. That's chapter 1. But we should never forget chapter 5. So if we are going back to Ephesians, we have to go back to the full book of Ephesians. We preach on chapter 1, but we also preach on chapter 5. That's what sound doctrine is. Some, they just want to stay on chapter 1. That's wrong. Some, they just want to focus on chapter 5. That's okay. But that's not the whole Bible. But sound doctrine is to be able to endure from chapter 1 to chapter 5. How many have ever taken a journey of reading the whole Bible? It's easy to start in Genesis, right? And you go to Exodus. And then you come to Numbers and the Leviticus. That's where a lot of people change their mind. Because who can endure those numbers and those names, right? And Aaron begets this one and this one, beget this one and this one, beget this one, this one. And you know, you tell yourself, I want to read the whole Bible, kiva to kiva, line by line, word by word. And you know, a thought comes in your mind, it doesn't matter, it's just names. Let me just, you know, go to the next chapter. But you realize, you know what, I made a commitment to read the whole Bible. I have to read every word because it's inspired by God. But that's what men thinks about. It's like, you know what, I'll just skip the opening remarks and I'll start the tape where they open the scripture. But you remember, Brother Branham, in the opening remarks, he deals with a situation, a question that you may have in your mind. And it can be answered by those opening remarks. You know? Or somebody may say, oh, the interview with Sister Bruce is not the very spiritual tape. But that's a good tape. Because maybe you are in this situation. Maybe I'm not. Maybe you are not. But I'm in that situation. Amen. So that's what sound doctrine is about, is to be able to endure the teachings that come from the Word and from the Bible. Now, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 28, for all the tables are full of vomit. This is the day that we're living in. And Brother Bram repeats this scripture over and over again. What is vomit? Paul describes, and it's like a pig that goes back to its wallow, or a dog that goes back to its vomit. So all the tables are full of vomit. It means what is being taught is the things of the world that we left as a church, and people are going back to it. That's what vomit is. So the pulpits in the world, they are now full of vomit. It used to be wrong for women to wear short dresses, but now they are teaching that it's all right. Teaching vomit. Amen. It used to be wrong for people to smoke cigarettes. Now they are going back to vomit. It used to be wrong for, I mean, I could give many examples, but I don't want to do that. Amen. It's a Wednesday night. And filthiness. So there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? This is the Holy Ghost. He's trying to find people that he can give knowledge and cause to understand doctrine. And he says, it's them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. In other words, it's people who have childlike faith. People who are willing to learn. People who are willing to hear and to sit and to hear from the Word of God. These are the people that the Holy Ghost is looking for. and saying, who shall he teach knowledge? Who shall he teach doctrine? But nobody is willing to learn knowledge and doctrine because you know what? Everybody knows everything. Because we have internet, we have got AI. The world has become heady, high-minded. And they know everything. But the temple is full of vomit. It's like if you stand up today and you say, the food you're eating is not healthy. Nobody's going to listen to you, including myself. I won't listen to you. I'll still go ahead and eat my my burrito, right? For precept must be upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and other tongue will I speak to these people. So the knowledge and the doctrine of God is not just one thing. It's line upon line. Precept upon precept. Scripture upon scripture. Here a little, there a little. Ephesians 1, a little. Ephesians chapter 5, a little. Not just one battle of one chapter. Play the tapes. We don't want mini, we don't want the five-fold ministry. We don't want this. Listen, there's a place for everything. There's here a little, there a little. Yes, we believe in playing tapes, but we also believe in church dinners, for example. We also believe in preaching of the five-fold ministry. We also believe in family camps. We also believe that a father can preach to his family. There's many things that we believe. Yes, I believe this, but I also believe this. That's why when Satan came to Jesus, he says, it is written. But Jesus says, it is also written. So it is written is good, but you must consider it is also written. Because it is written in isolation can become a bad doctrine. So it is written, we must listen to the tapes, but it is also written, I have set in the church the fivefold ministry for the edification of the body. So it's here a little, there a little. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Scripture upon scripture. Amen. Oh, Brother Aaron, you know, the message says we mustn't do this. Yes, but you know what? There's also another quote that says this. Take all the quotations and let the Holy Ghost lead you as an individual. You can't just take one brick and build a house. If you are going to build a house, you have to use many bricks. And you have to use windows and doors. It's not one brick. It's not one material. That is poor engineering. No matter how good it is, right? You got to have the ceiling. You got to have vents. You say, oh, Brother Aaron, we don't want windows because the thieves will come. That becomes a grave. A house with no windows is a grave. It's a bunker. It's only good when there's a nuclear holocaust. But you can't live in such a house. So God is not building a bunker. God is building a house. And a house has many bricks. And the Bible says in the time of Solomon, when the temple was being built, that the materials, they came from different parts of the world. The materials to build our character comes from different parts of the Bible. Comes from different parts of the scriptures. Comes from different parts of the ministry. Some come from evangelists. Some come from teachers. Some come from prophets. But it's all for the building of the tabernacle of God. Amen. Amen. And I was preaching the other time that it wasn't Moses who built the tabernacle. It was Eliab. It was Basileel. God anointed them to build the tabernacle. Moses gave the pattern, but Basileel built the tabernacle using the pattern. And if you get a blueprint of a building, for it to pass, it must have all the necessary components. There must be plumbing in that building. You know, I went to Dubai one time, and I saw the Burj Khalifa, one of the most beautiful buildings, right? Probably the tallest in the world. But you know what? They made an engineering mistake. Like, they don't have, like, good plumbing. So they have to send trucks to take out, you know, the refuse and, you know, throw it away. And I thought, that's what man does, but that's not what God does. God makes sure that everything is there. So everything that we need for the rapture is in the Bible. Everything we need for the rapture is in the message of the hour. We just have to take it the right way. And present it the right way. It's like when animals, when they hibernate, the bears. If you go to Alaska, the bears, they'll eat fish. And just before the winter comes, you know what they'll do? They'll take the salmon and they'll just eat the skin and throw away the flesh because there's excess salmon. And also they are trying to stock up enough fat to last through the winter. So if God can give sufficient food to a bear, isn't he faithful to give us sufficient food to go through the winter of Laodicea? He knew exactly what we needed. He knew exactly what we required. If you look at those bears, you may think, oh, they are wasting food. No, God is a great engineer, my friend. He knows exactly what he's doing. It's like the bees, right? They just know how to go to the flowers, take the nectar, make the honey. You can't force them. You know, men try to give them, you know, some other things to make honey, and the honey wasn't so nice, wasn't so great. You can never replace the good old flowers, right? Because that's God's provided way. And God knows exactly what the bees need to make the best honey. And God knew that we were going to come to Laodicea and that there will be a Jezebel spirit. And God knew that because there will be a Jezebel spirit, there has to be the spirit of Elijah. Because the spirit of Elijah always comes as a standard against the spirit of Jezebel. Hallelujah. And who knows? And we spoke about this the other time. Jezebel is Hollywood. That's Jezebel. Jezebel is denominationalism. That's Jezebel. Jezebel is also political power that comes in the form of, I don't want to say it because if it gets in the wrong hand, I might be misunderstood, right? It's the spirit that came upon the earth in the form of civil rights. Now, there are many great civil rights that I support because they are in the Bible. But there's a lot of things that came with that that are contrary to the word. Like right now, we have all kinds of problems, right? We have now, I don't know how many genders now we have. That's Jezebelism. Amen. Now, the prophet says, there you are. That's what he says. That wasn't my word. That's his word. Change it if you can. It can never be changed. He said, precept must be upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. The whole gospel must be brought out. So the prophet, he gave us the whole gospel. And Paul says, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Our duty is to give you the whole counsel of God. Not just what you like. Not just what I like, but the whole counsel of God. And that's what is lacking in these days. People just want certain things. We have to endure the whole counsel of God. That's how we can become wise. That's how we can become healthy. That's how we can become, you know, what we need to be. Amen. And he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days that these tables will be full of vomit. And so forth, and he says, but the word would come, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, and hold fast to that which is good. For with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to these people. And this is the rest, this is the keeping of the Sabbath that you should understand, that we should enter into. For all this, they wouldn't understand it, walked away, wagging their heads, and so forth. So this is connected to the rest, to the stammering lips, to the Holy Ghost experience. The correct teaching leads you to the correct rest. The correct teaching leads you to the right baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it leads to a rest. Because the Bible says this is the rest, but they refused. People don't want to rest. They want to work with their own works. They want to do things with their own works. Then Brother Branham says, any man that has not a doctrine has not a ministry. That's a very strong statement. He says, any man who does not have a doctrine, he does not have a ministry. For you to have a ministry, you must have a teaching. You must have it's like a country. Imagine a country that has no constitution. Well, England doesn't have a constitution, but at least they have values, right? So, in other words, if you don't have a teaching, just like a home, If you don't have a doctrine in your home, you don't have a home. Things that you believe in your house. As a father, you must have that. As a mother, you must have that. Your kids should know that. At this house, this is what we believe. It can be different from house to house, and that's okay, but you must have something. So when we say a ministry, don't just think about ministers. Think about your own ministry. You have a ministry as a husband. You must have a doctrine. You have a ministry as a mother. You must have a doctrine. Whatever office you have, you must have a teaching or something that you believe. Otherwise, you're going to be pushed from pillar to post. Today you are here, tomorrow you are there, tomorrow. You must know what you believe. If you ask a conservative, they'll tell you, I believe in small government, I believe in low taxes. That they have what they believe. That's what makes them conservatives. And on the other side, they don't have anything that they believe, so they believe everything, right? But you, I'm just giving an example, but you as a Christian, you must have a doctrine. Even personally, you must have your own values. You must know what the message is to you personally. What the Bible means to you personally. What Christ is to you. And if you know who you are, then you can never be shaken by the gates of hell. But we've got so many people who don't know what they believe, what they stand for. They just being pushed. It's like, you know, being in a New York subway, right? In between people. You're just being pushed and you just find yourself in and you're just going. Where are you coming from? I don't know. What's your stopping point? I don't know. You wind up in a place that you don't want to be, right? So we should endure sound doctrine. And we must have doctrines in our own lives. I don't mean you are mean, but I mean that the devil is some... I'm going to skip this one because this one is a bit... It says, some sissified puppies that out beyond is hog collars instead of a preacher. When I saw this, I said, Lord, help me. The Bible is saying that, but the Bible says some people ought to be hog callers. Imagine somebody who calls, you know, hogs. Says, if you're not willing to preach the truth, you're better off being a hog caller. If you're not willing to give the sound doctrine, you're better off being a pig farmer. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for Israel. With the statutes and judgments. Now, what happened at Horeb? God said to Israel, I'm going to meet with you. I'm going to talk to you. Right? And when they came, when the day came, they washed themselves, they cleaned themselves. And when God began to speak, as the Lord was coming to speak, they became afraid. And they said, no, Moses, we don't want to hear your God speak. You speak to us. We cannot endure his voice. That was their reaction. I believe it's like Exodus chapter 19 or something. And that was the beginning of God's covenant with Israel. He was no longer going to speak to them directly. He was going to send a prophet. Because they could not endure just the sound of God speaking directly to them. But God has always wanted to speak to people. But people has always been afraid of God. When Adam sinned, he was running away from God. Man is always running away from God. And when man runs away from God, what does he do? He finds a covering. He finds a substitute. He finds something that he makes for himself that makes him feel good. You know what? I'm an atheist, but I'm also a philanthropist. Something that makes him feel good. But that's just a covering. That is not what God wants. But God comes down and he takes away the covering and he applies the blood. That he can have fellowship with us directly. Amen. But man doesn't want that. They want to run away from God. Because man by nature cannot endure sound doctrine. But Paul says, for you have, you know afterwards, when we would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. This is Esau. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that might be burned with fire, or unto blackness and darkness and tempest. And he says, but you come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heaven in Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. So Paul is saying, at Horeb, or at Sinai, they were afraid to come to the mountain. But now in the New Testament, we are coming to Mount Zion. It's not as scary as in the Old Testament. So it's okay for you to come and God speaks to you face to face. It's okay for you to come and speak to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Paul is saying, that is the place where you have come to. So don't be afraid of that. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. If you have it, we can open it. Now, Joshua, God says to Joshua, only be thou strong and very courageous. And he says, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is within the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. So God gives Joshua the commission to take the land. But he says, you need to be courageous to stay with the word. You need courage to stay with sound doctrine. You need courage to stay with sound teaching. You need courage to stay with the message of Moses. It takes courage to stay with this message of the hour. Because you know what? Many have left. Many are leaving. Many are going back. But it takes courage to stay with that message. Because it's very convenient to carve it out and take the parts that you want and take the parts and leave out the parts that you don't like. But it takes courage to take the whole counsel of God, to eat the whole lamb. And he says, turn not from it to the right or to the left. Thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So the goal of the teaching is to prosper you. But we can only prosper if we take the whole word of God the way it is. And God's prosperity is not the same way as our way of looking at prosperity. God wants you to prosper in your spirit. God wants you to prosper in your soul. God wants you to prosper in your flesh. He wants to heal your diseases in the flesh. He wants to heal anxiety. He wants to heal depression. He wants to heal, you know, addiction, temper. He wants to heal. He wants to give you the Holy Ghost. That's what prosperity looks like before God. But man's prosperity doesn't care about your soul, doesn't care about your spirit, doesn't care. It only cares about the flesh. As long as you have a good car, as long as you have got good food. But that's not what God is looking for. Because you know what? This flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood will never inherit the kingdom of God. But the spirit shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's what God is interested in. He's interested in your whole being. And once, just a while ago, when you showed me the vision, the little tabernacle here, and I'm going to skip this. Behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor or thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgin, the young man, faint for thirst. That's the prophecy of Amos. And Brother Branham speaks about it, that we are living in the days that were promised. That people shall, they shall be a thirst. There shall be a famine in the land. But this famine is not for bread and water. It's the famine to hear the truth of the gospel. We have got people today who are wondering out there in the world, where can I find a church where I can just sit with my family and hear the words of eternal life? Where can I just find a church? It's like the scripture that says, who can find a virtuous woman? And I always take it to also mean, who can find a balanced church? People are moving from state to state, place to place, city to city, because people just want to find a balanced church where they can just sit and hear the gospel. No politics, no controversy, just the pure river of the gospel and the water of life. That's what people are looking for. and the famine is upon the earth. People are holding the Bible, but they don't have the words of life. It's a famine that has come upon the land. I've seen people send me messages, brother, I'm in this, I don't know, a remote island out of somewhere. I was listening to the message, thank you so much. I said, oh my goodness. People are hungry for the word of God. That's one thing I like about Brother Barry in this church, is the balance in the word. You know, ministry to children, to young people, to families, to husbands, to wives. That's what people are looking for. People are looking for a rich word. People are looking for a word that has nutrients, vitamins, all the vitamins, not just one vitamin, but all the vitamins. But you know what the merchants are selling? They're only selling sugar. There's no food. People have weaponized sugar. And that's what people are feeding on. They are not feeding upon the bread of life. And Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. He says, my words, they are spirit and they are life. He says, if any man will eat my flesh, he shall not die. He says, my flesh is good food. And some people, they left. They thought he was talking about cannibalism. But he was talking about the words that were coming out of his mouth. Think about the Sermon on the Mount. The Bible says, he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, what is to teach? Teaching is a doctrine. He opened his mouth and he gave them a teaching. He opened his mouth and he gave them a good doctrine. He opened his mouth and he gave them the river of the word. That's what I want for my soul. I don't know, but that's what I want for myself. I don't want to be told lies. Like when you read the newspaper today, you have to check 100 times. Is this true or not? Many times it's not. It's a tiny little element of truth. But the rest is just made up. And that's what the devil does. He takes a tiny little element of truth. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And then the rest is just hot air. There is no eternal words of life. We don't want that. I don't want that. I want to hear the truth of the gospel. Even if it pricks my heart, I want to hear it. Even if it's like a doctor, a good doctor will look you in the eye and say, I'm sorry to tell you that you have got this problem, but we can fix it. Here is the remedy. So a good doctor won't just be afraid to tell you the problem. He'll also tell you the solution. And Jesus is a great physician. He's a good doctor. He'll tell you, we have a problem with your pride. We have a problem with your temper. We have a problem with your lust. We have a problem with the way you talk to your children. We have a problem with the way you talk to your wife. We have a problem with this. But here's the solution. I can help you with that. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to be told I'm right when I know I'm wrong. Amen. I don't want to be carried to heaven. I want to be an overcomer. I don't want to feel guilty when I wear the crown of life. I want to rejoice and be happy and say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the privilege of walking in your footsteps. But people don't want that. They want to be given A's without sitting for the exam. Congratulations. You know, if you see a message that says, congratulations, you've been approved for 50,000, when you never applied, what is it? It's a scam. Say it. Congratulations, you've been approved for 50,000. Click here. And then all your information is gone. All your bank account is wiped out. And then the first thing we'll ask you, had you applied for a credit card or a loan? No. So what made you think that you won? You were approved if you didn't apply? All right, I'm closing in 5 minutes. And you know, that was predicted by the prophets just before the second coming of Christ. He said, there will come a famine in the land. It won't be for bread alone, but for hearing of the word of God. And can I tell you something? There is also a famine for bread. Because guess what? The bread that you buy in the store has 91 ingredients. People are looking for a simple bread with 4 ingredients. You have to find, to work very hard to find simple bread that has got 4 ingredients or less. All the bread you find on the shelf. Imagine a bread that can last for 2 weeks on a shelf. Think about the famous McDonald's bun. It can survive a nuclear holocaust. Literally. But it's not good for you. It's not good for you. That's what denominations are. They survive all kinds of scandals. Think about the Catholic Church. I'm not being critical of the Catholic Church. I'm just giving an example. They've survived pedophile scandals. They've survived priests abusing boys. They've survived financial. They've survived all kinds of scandals. In the message, if we have one problem, then the church just is closed, right? That's us in the message community. That shows you there's organic food there. If your food doesn't go bad, something is wrong. We cannot survive even a small problem, right? But the Catholic, they can survive anything. It's like the McDonald's bun. You can bury it for 2 years. You dig it up. It's fresh. You can just throw in a burger and then you can eat it. Then Jesus said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh through me shall never hunger. And he that believeth me shall never thirst. You know, Jesus stood at the Feast of Tabernacles, the last day of the feast. And he says, if any man is thirst, let him come to me. And the invitation is still here tonight. If any man is hungry, let him come to Jesus. This message is Jesus. The seals are Jesus. The church ages are Jesus. Everything we are preaching, we are pointing to Jesus. When we say sound doctrine, it's Jesus. Because in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. When the Word became flesh, he stood and said, if any man is hungry, let him come and eat. If any man is thirsty, let him come and drink. Musicians, if you can come. Don't die of hunger, little children. There is plenty of bread. And this bread is living in our midst tonight. It's a living bread. Don't die of thirst. Don't die of malnutrition. Don't die of spiritual lifestyle diseases. We have good organic food that was given to us that we can eat. We have good vitamins. We have got good stuff that God gave us. God gave us a prophet. God gave us the tapes. God gave us the books. God gave us ministers. God gave us pastors. Let's eat and feast upon that word. One thing I'll say in closing. You know, if you eat junk food a lot, you will lose your appetite for real good food. You know that? If you give your kids ice cream, they'll never eat their vegetables. They'll never eat whole foods because your brain has been fried. So if you also consume a lot of spiritual junk, it's extremely difficult for you to sit down and listen to a message because your appetite has been ruined. If you spend all your time just watching junk, the moment when the bread is presented to you, you have no desire for it. Amen. Let's stand up on our feet.
I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
No.
I need you, Lord.
Right now.
I need you, Lord. I need you.
Saying, Lord, help me to endure your doctrine and your teaching and never to be weary of your correction. That's the desire of my heart. And I want God to help me to stay the course, to feed on the right things, to dwell in the right places, and to enjoy his teaching. David said it like this: thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And the prophet says, it's the rod of correction, it's the staff of correction. But to David, it was a comfort. May God get us to that place. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, tonight. You said, Lord, you gave an open invitation. If any man is thirsty, if any man is hungry, we know that you even said in the book of Revelations that, behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. If any man would open the door, I'll come and eat with him. I'll come and sup with him. Lord, you want to sup with us. You want to eat and fellowship with us. You want to dwell with us. You want to feed us. You want to bring us close. We are like sheep. Sometimes we've gone astray. But we remember the story of how you broke one sheep so that you can feed it close to your chest. Father, no doubt some of us tonight have broken legs and broken limbs. But we are happy to be in the hands of the master, the hands of the shepherd. Lord, even David, one time he says that he'll lead us through green pastures and the still waters. Lord, we want the real good pastures of the word, real good teaching, Father, that came through the apostles and the prophets, Lord, and men of God that you've raised in these last days to teach and to feed your people. Lord, we thank you tonight, oh God. Help us, Father, to establish boundaries, to establish teachings and doctrines in our lives, in our homes. Oh God, as families, as fathers and mothers. Lord, we want to be a people of the book. As Lord, you have called the people of Israel, the people of the book. They're the people of the right teaching, of sound doctrine, of people of understanding, people of common sense. Help us tonight, Lord. We need you, Father. We need your spirit. Lead us, oh God, each day. May the dove of the spirit lead us. As the famous song we used to sing, fill my way every day with love as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Lord, David, one time he said, as the heart panteth after the water brook, my soul thirsteth after thee, oh God. We're thirsting for thee, Lord Jesus Christ, tonight. Father, we have heard many words, many things being said, but we want the Spirit, the after speaker, to come and unction our hearts. Lord, we are living in the last days. There's a famine, there's a hunger, there's a thirst. But Lord, as you commanded Elijah to abide by the brook Cherith, and you fed him, you sent the ravens, you gave him food, you gave him water, you supplied him in the time of famine. Help us, Lord, to eat and the supplies that you have given and sent to us in these last days. Bless the families, Lord. Inspire, oh God, give courage to the fathers to feed their children the right things. Lord, inspire us, oh God, as the ministry to have the courage to stay with the message and to teach the flock, oh God. As you say to Peter, oh God, and you say to him three times, Peter, do you love me? And he said, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my flock. Lord, this is the burden that we have in these last days, to feed your people. And Father, you say that sheep, they enjoy sheep food. Far be it from us, Lord, to ever bring something new, something foreign. But Lord, we want to stay with that teaching, oh God. We may not be popular, we may not be the most loved people upon the earth, but Lord, we want to be, oh God, like the man that stood and hear, Lord, the words on that day when you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Blessed Brother Barry, Lord, and the burden that he has for this church, for the balance that he has in the ministry. We commit everyone into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You make sure you don't miss church on Sunday. We have some real good sound teaching from Brother Trevor Emond, one of my favorite preachers. Makes it simple, makes it plain. Amen. God bless you. We'll be in Virginia this coming Sunday, so we hope that you pray for us. God bless you. For them.
So lead me, Lord, and I will follow. Lead me, Lord, and I will go. You have called me, I will.
I see glory on each
face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. So surely the presence mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence
steps. Your word, dear Lord, sing key. We'll just sing this and you're dismissed as we sing it this evening. Just keep the weekend in prayer and Brother Barry in prayer as he travels again, and the youth meetings as well happening this weekend. So,
order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me and guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word. Please order my steps in your word. So, Lord, order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me and guide me every day. Father, I pray, order my steps in your word. Please order my steps in your word. I want to walk worthy according to thy word. Please order my steps, Lord. Ever changing, but you are still the same. If you'll order my steps, I'll praise your name. So, Lord, order my steps in your way. Steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me and guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word. Please order my steps in your word. I want to walk worthy according to thy word. Please order my steps, Lord, and I'll do your blessed will. This world is ever changing, but you are still the same. If you'll order my steps,
my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me and guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Lord, in my steps in your word. Please order my steps in your word. Just order my steps in your